Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilley, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you get aboard here. As we discuss the Eagles, the Packers, Nick Sirianni's future here. Does he need playoff success to secure that? And, of course, Jalen Hurts expected to be on the practice field today. Let's talk to our guy, Elliot Shore Parks. He was at the Sirianni press conference. He joins us right now. Elliot, how we doing?
What up? How you guys doing today?
Well, we're locked in, Elliot. It's playoff week.
Of course,
Elliot, what was your read today with Sirianni? It was the first time he kind of revealed something different, and that is Jalen Hurts is going to practice today.
Yeah, for the first time, there really wasn't much of a read to have because he just told us what's going on. You know, no more guessing where he's at in the protocol, what's going to happen. Jalen's going to be out there today at 3:35 when they practice at the link. So the obvious next question would be, when is he cleared? When does he clear? I would guess a timeline for this one would be today. He's probably listed as limited since, you know, he's not completely out of the protocol yet. Probably a full participant tomorrow. And I would think Friday, we get the news that, you know, people can basically feel now, but he's going to be playing on Sunday against the Packers.
Elliot, let's spin this forward and assume he's going to get cleared, which would be great and obviously necessary for the Eagles. Would you run him like normal? You know, you look to some of his games this year. He ran a lot, and I think it was kind of overshadowed because Saquon was the star runner. It wasn't like Jalen was leading them in rushing, but, you know, he'd have games of 12, 15, you know, rushes in the game. Would it be, if he's cleared, for if you're in charge, is it all systems go, or would you think twice about running him because he's just coming off the concussion?
You know, obviously without knowing, you know, all the specifics of his health, my opinion of it would be play him like normal. If he's cleared, if he's in the game, I don't think you want to hold him back. Obviously, you know, I don't want him to get a head injury if they feel like that's a risk. But if he's out there, I would assume that's not. So if he's going to play on Sunday, I don't think they need to change anything they do on offense. I don't think they need to run Jalen more. I don't think they need to run him less. I don't think they have to lean on Saquon more. They got to where they are by playing the offense the way that they have. And if Jalen's out there, I want him playing like Jalen Hurts.
Elliot Shore Parks with us here. Elliot, what's your feeling on the Packers? They're a really interesting opponent because I can squint one way and look at a pretty darn good resume. They have a great point differential. They won 11 games. They have a lot of really good players, and they played in the NFL's toughest division, and they ended up where they are. On the other hand, they haven't really beat a team with a winning record, and it feels like Jordan Love, in a lot of areas, plateaued this year. He didn't take that next step that people expected, you know, having him in the preseason MVP discussion. What do you make of the matchup with the Packers?
I think the Packers are a lot of good individual parts, but the parts doesn't really equal a sum that they have to be completely worried about. The Packers are capable of beating the Eagles just because of the talent that they do have. They have, you know, two, I would say maybe three really good players on defense, on offense. I know they lost Christian Watson, but they still have Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs. Josh Jacobs is having an awesome year. They have a really good set of tackles, which I think is important in this game, obviously, because if Jordan Love has time back there, I mean, he can. He does have a special arm. But even with all that, and even statistically, if you look, top 10 offense, top 10 defense, really good on third down. Like, they check a lot of boxes. But the reality is, when they have played good teams, they have not been able to beat them. As good as the defense is statistically, they've given up 30-plus points to the Eagles, the Vikings, and the Lions. The only good offense you could argue they shut down this year were the Rams, and the Rams didn't have Cooper or Puka Nacua in that game. So I think the Packers are just scary enough where the Eagles can't just mail it in on Sunday for sure. But the Packers are really good at losing close games to good teams, and I think that would be the case on Sunday.
How much do you take away from the first game and now springboard it to this one? I mean, they have played this year. It's a rematch. But the game was in week one. It was in Brazil. I remember you talking to you that week, and they had the band playing behind you. It feels like a million years ago. How much do you take away from that one, or is it just so far, so long ago, and so much is different about the Eagles specifically that it's not really worth, you know, thinking about for this matchup?
Yeah, so last week I rewatched that game, and then I also watched a whole bunch of Jordan Love from the season. And what stood out to me was the Eagles look like a very different team from that week one game, and the Packers look mostly exactly the same. I think the Eagles have improved since that game, and I think there's two main ways that they've improved. One, Jalen Hurts is taking way better care of the football. In that game alone, he had four turnover-worthy plays. I could argue there were probably even a few more, but he ended up with four turnover-worthy plays. That's 25% of the turnover-worthy plays he had for the entire year. He only had five from the bye week on, so those last like 11 games or whatever it was. So he's being way, way smarter with the football. And then on the Eagles' defense, they're a far better tackling team than they were that night in Brazil. You think about some of the tackles Chauncey missed. He's been a way better tackler since then. Avante Maddox won't really be playing much. Obviously, that's a difference. So I think the Eagles have improved. But the Packers, to me, look the same. Like that night in Brazil, their defense made some plays. Xavier McKinney had an interception. He's really good at that. He has eight interceptions. Jordan Love made some really impressive throws, and he had some really bad throws. He's really good at doing that. He's very inconsistent. So I think the Eagles have improved more since week one than the Packers have.
Elliot with us here as we get ready for Eagles-Packers on Sunday. Elliot, let's talk about the rest of the NFC and kind of lay the path out for the Eagles here. What's your initial thought on these other games? Because, you know, what happens Sunday night in Tampa, and of course what happens Monday in Los Angeles, that'll affect who we see next week. Early thought on Commanders Bucks Sunday night.
Yeah, I'm really interested in how the Bucks play. I think Washington is the better team. I think they have the better quarterback. I think they just have been a better team this year. But there's something about in Tampa. Maybe it's just my like PTSD from always being down there and the Eagles always getting smoked. That seems like a shady, like hard place to play. So I actually think the Bucks have a decent chance of winning that game, which potentially not great news for the Eagles because we all know Jalen struggles against Tampa. But yeah, I'm excited to watch that one for sure.
All right, so if the Bucks win, they're the opponent next week. If they lose, it's the winner of the Vikings and the Rams. Of the three, which is the most challenging in your mind for next week? Vikings, Rams, Bucks?
So, man, it's a tough one because I think specific to the Eagles, it's probably the Bucks just because of how Jalen has struggled. The job Todd Bowles has done against Jalen. Now, there are some caveats there. They've never lost to the Bucks with AJ, right? So those games that we think about Jalen really struggling, he didn't have AJ Brown in those games. Oh, I think every game they've played the Buccaneers besides 2021 was in Tampa. So, you know, they haven't really had to come here. It's cold. My concern with Minnesota would be Brian Flores and that defense. I just, with Jalen, you know, not having played for a month, and obviously he will have played this upcoming Sunday, I would just be worried about how the offense would do against that defense. But the reality is, I think they'd beat all three of those teams. So I think entering the playoffs, like, it's definitely Super Bowl or bust for this team.
So the bar is not even just NFC title game. For you, it's Super Bowl or bust.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's like that for everybody.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they're not the favorite in the NFC. They'd have to go on the road in the title game.
It's like that. I think it's Super Bowl or bust for the Eagles for sure. Because if you go to the Super Bowl or you don't make it, like, your window's only so big. And we can sit here and say the roster's young. Howie's great at building a roster. Jalen, like, all that's true for sure. But lots of teams have felt that way after losing a Super Bowl. We felt that way in 2022. Like, well, they'll be back next year. And they certainly weren't. 2017, this team set up to win for a long time. They have Carson coming back. That didn't happen. 2004, they'll be back. That didn't happen. So we can always sit here and act like the window is super large. But if you get two shots at the Super Bowl and then that season in between where you didn't win a playoff game, that's a lot of missed opportunity. So there's no moral victories this time around. If they don't get it done, the question starts to become, like, are they going to capitalize on this window of talent they've had?
Well, I think that's fair. And let's spin that to the head coach, Elliot. We know you're a Sirianni guy, and you've pointed out how his record and what he's done, and obviously his resume is darn good for his first 4 years. But, Elliot, let's play this out, because you pointed out how they have to kind of seize the moment here. If they go out early, whether it's this week or next week, don't even make the title game, do you think it changes at all his future here in Philadelphia? He doesn't have a contract extension yet. I mean, I don't think there's any chance they fire him, but they also don't have to do anything with his contract. They don't have to make him the coach for the next 5 years. Do you think the playoffs matter for his future here?
Not really, no. I mean, if they get embarrassed against Green Bay, maybe. But I think Sirianni will get a contract extension this offseason. I think he'll be back next year. I understand what you're saying about maybe, you know, if it's really bad, but they keep him, don't give him a deal. But it's not like we're dealing with a salary cap or anything like that. It's really just money that Lurie has to pay. And far be it from me to tell him to go spend, you know, $10 million. But, you know, it's a problem that you pay to keep away so that all year Nick's not being asked about his future. So I do think he will get a contract extension this offseason. I don't think he'll be fired. And I think that if they have an embarrassing exit out the playoffs, I'll be curious to see how much they look at some of the other larger pieces here, like a Jalen. Like, how does he play, right? Mm. So,
what you saying, ESP?
Well, I think Jalen's under a ton of pressure going into the postseason. Like, Nick, I know they think really highly of Nick in that building, and they like Jalen as well. But if you look at that offense, like, as good as Jalen has been, and the record is there, and the resume and everything, if this window starts to close with no Super Bowl, I mean, we know how much they value the quarterback position. So I think it's more likely if there's an embarrassing exit, they would look at Jalen than Nick.
Well, you know, someone has to get looked at. I mean, you can't have a team this good and not go far and before questions are asked. Elliot, all right, let me ask you this, and we'll end with this, because I asked Seth Joyner this earlier. We were talking to Hugh about it because he's gone through this. I need your perspective. What's a playoff week like for you? Is there extra butterflies? Does it change your preparation? Is Sunday different waking up and you've covered a lot of these. I mean, you covered the Super Bowl in Minnesota, but what is it like for Elliot on a playoff week?
Look, as you heard me say, I started film work last week. I wasn't spending time
on the Giants.
You heard
him break it down, Phil.
Yeah, I was watching all the Jordan Love attempts.
Tape dog parks over here.
Exactly right. I got all my Instagram graphics ready to go, so I've had those out day after day. Follow me on Instagram, at Elliot Shore Parks. Like, yes, I've been ready to go for this. But I will say that of all the playoff runs I've covered, and with the Eagles, I've covered a lot of them, this is definitely one where I feel like this is going to be the next, like, you know, 5 weeks of my life. Like, I'm locked in. Like, I would be pretty surprised if this doesn't end up with us, maybe not on the bus, because that'll be you guys. But
you don't want to come on the bus with us, ESP?
Nah, unfortunately, I'll probably fly. But I think the bus does sound fun.
unfortunately.
I think you guys will enjoy that. But no, I'm ready to go. I'm locked in. Like, I'm eating right, working out, I'm feeling good. So I'm ready.
Hold on, what that got to do with anything? When you get to New Orleans, you're probably going to be drinking anyway.
Yeah, but that means he's got to take care of his body now to be ready
for
New Orleans.
Oh, so ready for, for the not debauchery, but the celebration.
No, it might be
celebration.
It might be debauchery.
Well, no, he's probably going to bring his lovely wife with him, so it won't be too much.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, look, it'll be a family affair for sure if we go down there. But you look good, play good. So when I feel good, I do better work. So I feel like I'm in a good place.
Elliot, to tell you that this is a team effort here. I mean, I'm looking at a text message confirming my stay in New Orleans from February 2nd to February 6th.
We making plans?
We got our hotel.
Wait a minute. So wait a minute. You say, what day are we going?
Well, the hotel room is February 2nd. That's the Sunday. Before the week before the game.
Okay. So they got us
a hotel.
But we work Friday, right?
Here, yeah.
So then that means we got to jump on the bus.
We got to jump on that bus. We got two days.
So we
got
to pack our stuff up. And that's a two-day trip?
Yeah, we got to workshop that one.
I will say, though, I was looking at my flight, and I think it's a little over 2 hours. So I feel you on that one. You know, the time
really?
Difference.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, 2 full hours. Yeah, but it's okay. We'll have our
just have it keep it. Just have it all set up for us when we get there two days later.
Yeah, I'll get the honey jack ready.
There
for
we
you,
go.
Don't worry. Yeah.
Elliot, we appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. And of course, the pregame show on Sunday. Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, sounds good. Talk to you guys.
There he goes. Elliot Shore Parks.
I don't know. Like, honey jack will be on deck. No doubt about that. Shout out to Jack. But we're going to New Orleans.
Dude, what's the drink of choice in New Orleans?
Only thing I know about is the hand grenades.
Oh, yeah. When this first came up. Yeah.
But I do know on Bourbon Street, they mix up. Like, there's a lot of times where, you know, and this is not what I'm trying to accomplish, but there have been people that have peed on themselves. They've been so faded that they relieve themselves on themselves on Bourbon Street. You've seen the memes. Like, people get hammered.
No.
You haven't seen the memes, man.
I haven't seen memes of people peeing themselves on Bourbon Street.
Well, you know when they pass out and they got to go to the bathroom, they usually pee on themselves. But the hand grenade is like the one to go.
This algorithm is worrisome.
I'm not much of a mixed drink drinker, but I'll partake in a hand grenade or two.
So I'm looking at the hand grenade right now. So it's a vodka, rum, gin, and then melon liqueur.
See, all of that, that's a lot for my stomach.
That's the idea.
That's a lot. I'm more of a, like, I'll take a shot, but I might partake in one or two.
I mean, if we're in New Orleans, what are we supposed to do?
And we're going to hit the voodoo spot. We're going to get some masks and go to some of the you know, because the Wiccans are big down in New Orleans. You know, that's... you know, I'm going to find some joy
okay.
in this trip. The Wiccans.
We're going to make the most of it, yeah.
The voodoo spot. We get some masks and go to some of them clubs where nobody sees your face. And just hang out.
I can't wait. 215-592-9494. Cowboy Jim is up. He wouldn't know much about Super Bowl trips. What's up, Cowboy Jim?
What have I done to deserve this?
What's up, Cowboy Jim?
All this talk about going to Detroit, going to New Orleans, all your Eagle bravado, your future Hall of Famers, and ESPN is only going to give you a 14% chance of getting there, and Green Bay is given 12. I'm sorry, weren't you guys almost supposed to be like 16-1? What happened? Why is it only 14%?
I'm not worried about ESPN's percentages.
14! Trying to win
how many games was the Cowboys supposed to win this year?
A lot more than
they did. We're not talking about that right now. That was a 2024. We're
how about your dope pass rusher thinking the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl next year? You see
That's right.
We got to be smoking something.
We got a senior stable coach who's staying around. We have great players. We're going to fill in some positions. We'll be just fine, and I believe Micah Parsons, we are going to the Super Bowl next year.
There's zero shot the Cowboys win the Super Bowl next year. Right?
Zero.
Hey, Hugh Douglas.
Yes.
Hugh Douglas. As for Jerry Jones, the titan of oil and gas, owner of five-time Super Bowl champ, and the most valuable
sports
team in the world.
You know, I burnt my chicken last night, Joe.
Okay.
Did you?
Yeah, I burnt my chicken last night.
Oh.
Because
you got to get yourself right on that
wait
smoker.
Wait a minute, Cowboy Jim was talking about something.
Didn't
I forgot. But no, this is what happened.
I thought that was
I put the smoker on, right, and I put the chicken. You got to let the smoker warm up first. I messed around, and I put the chicken in while the smoker was warming up.
Is this before or after you fell?
This was before I fell. I had a rough night.
Home life with Hugh.
Wait a minute. What were you talking about, Jim? My bad.
Are you going to get life alert? Okay. We should get you life alert for Christmas.
I'm just helping you out.
For his birthday, we're getting him life alert.
While you playing me and Joe talk, he's like, can you call on your phone? Because I left my phone upstairs.
Kyle, order him a life alert. We'll expense it. Go ahead. Jim, what's up? What do you got?
Wait a minute. What you talking about, Jim? What'd you say?
Jerry Jones. He's gonna win an Emmy for his role in Landman. Okay, Q,
I heard he did pretty good.
You know, we might have to go side by side to see who's a better actor, Hugh Douglas or Jerry Jones.
I heard he did well. I didn't see his acting portrayal in Landman, but I heard people raving about it. They say it was real close to real life for him.
Tears to my eyes. It was wonderful.
Oh, jeez. Jim, who's your Super Bowl pick? Who do you got?
Anyone that has not won a Super Bowl.
I don't give a shit.
That has not won a Super Bowl.
All right, so the Bills and the Lions. All right, Jim, get out of here. That's enough. This Cowboys nonsense. Yeah, Michael Parsons.
Ain't nobody paying attention to that.
No, that's why we talked over him. I mean, no one wants to pay attention to that. Yeah, Michael Parsons, by the way, did say he predicted the Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl next year. What's the chances of that happening?
Slim and none.
I'm at a zero. Zero on that one. Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
Yo, Joe, Kyle, what's up, man?
What's going
Terrence,
on, man?
What's up, buddy?
Man. Yeah, you're my guy, man, but I'm going to have to – I feel like Sirianni, he has done enough to secure his job and to get an extension. And I heard you say that you you didn't want to hear about his so far his, like, his old pedigree, his column.
Yeah, it's his 14 wins in the regular season.
I'm trying to hear all that.
I feel like it's hard to ignore that because – I think he's been in the playoffs set for 1 year, right?
No, he's been in the year for all 4 years. He's been there all four.
And that's hard to not look at. Like, I feel like what you said. I feel like Sirianni has gotten better as the season has gone on, except for that time he had with Zach Ertz. But I feel like who are we going to get in here to coach? Like, I feel like we got to be careful what we ask for. We're not going to get some messiah of coaching to come in here and coach the NFL team because we know this team plays for Sirianni. We cannot say that another coach comes in here that this team is going to buy into what they're doing. We know what happened with Dan Campbell. Even Dan Campbell's first year, they were bad. The second year, the team bought into it. Like, so it takes a while. Like, I feel like we've been on Sirianni pretty tough, but I feel like this guy has won despite of that. And I know we ask what he does, but he gets the team to play for him. Even last year, this guy had won 11 games. And I still feel like even in the playoff run right now, so, if we still have to get past Mahomes. We know before this, if any coach in the NFL, we know it was Bill Belichick for a while. We had Brady with the Bucks running it. But after that, it was the Chiefs and Andy Reid dominating the NFL. And you still have to go in there and take it from Patrick Mahomes. To me, ain't up to the coaches right now. You have to go take this championship from Patrick Mahomes. It's up to Hurts. It's up to the players and the Detroit. You have to go snatch this from Jalen Hurts had the chance in 2022, but Mahomes had that one finger, that one pinky holding on to that trophy, and he wouldn't let it go. So I feel like you still, like, Sirianni, yes, the coaching is going to be important, but you still have to come in here and play your ass off and take it from Patrick Mahomes. But I feel like if Sirianni does get it go, because I still want to see what he does in the playoffs, but he has to make a stamp in the playoffs and take it from Mahomes and Andy Reid.
Well, everyone does. I mean, Terrence, it's incredible that every year we talk about all these teams that are good and have a chance and percentages. Well, it's still, you got to take it from Mahomes. I mean,
you got to take it, man.
And I still expect it. Terrence, we appreciate it. I mean,
got to get there.
Hugh, I still expect the Chiefs to be the team on the other side. I know Buffalo's had a great year, and they already beat the Chiefs. And Kansas City, the Baltimore's had a great year, and they might get a chance at the Chiefs again. Hugh, if I guess right now, I still think the Chiefs are going to be the team in the Super Bowl on the AFC side.
Yeah, even though everybody talks about how they've gotten past and won the games by the skin of their teeth, they still are like the class. To be able to win games the way that they've been winning them, I mean, that's still pretty impressive.
They were 15-1 before they rested their starters this past
yeah.
week. I mean, they're 15-1 is nothing to sneeze at. I still think it's the Chiefs, and I expect them to be the team on the other side. Look, we talked about this the other day with the potential path for the Eagles, the path that they may have to go down. They're going to have to earn this. I mean, if Sirianni guides them to wins over the Packers, Vikings, Lions, and Chiefs, it'd be one of the greatest runs in NFL history.
Yeah, and that's a fact. I mean, even though you're favored in most of the games you're going to be in, you still got to get it done. You know, because anything can happen. And we've seen the Green Bay Packers. Green Bay Packers played spoiler. They played spoiler last year. So it's one of those things where even though you're favored in most of these games that you're in, or all of these games that you're in, you still got to go out there and get it done. And I think he does, man. I think he's grown a lot. So much so that it's hard for a lot of people to see, but he's grown as a coach. He really has.
Well, it's funny. He's grown in some ways. I think in the game, he's kind of taken his foot off the gas and just calmed down a little bit. And sort of all those fourth downs, like that Jaguars game, was just off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's been better second half of the season than the first half. But the funny thing is, every time someone says he's grown, you're like, yeah, but except that one moment, right? Like the Clint Hurt thing on the sideline.
Well, I don't, you know,
well,
I think that was
Zach Ertz.
Yeah, I think that was a heat of the moment thing. But I hear you.
I know, it's just one every 3 weeks, but that's all right. I mean,
he said this one every.
I mean, there is. It's like, I mean, this year we had
the heat of a lot of moments.
We had the sideline stuff with the fans. We had Zach Ertz. We had Jalen Carter. I just feel like there's one every 3 or 4.
And they're only 14-3.
And that's what matters. 215-592-9494. Does Sirianni need postseason success for you to want the Eagles to extend him this offseason? Plus, Cowboy Jim mentioned, and he actually brought up one decent point there. We'll do a side-by-side of acting performances between Jerry Jones and our guy Hugh Douglas. Who's the better actor? Because Jerry has now entered the world of acting that Hugh thinks he's still a part of. We'll play that next. 215-592-9494 for Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon. Specifically, let's talk about Hatfield bacon. You know, I love Hatfield bacon, man. I could talk about bacon all day long, as well as eat bacon all day long. It's delicious, and there are so many different flavors and cuts, like hardwood smoked bacon. I like that. Got that little smoky feel. Got that applewood smoked bacon. Little hint of apple. But I like it when it's thick cut. Hardwood smoked bacon. That's one of my favorites. But my absolute favorite is the extra thick cut bacon, maple brown sugar. So do yourself a favor and go get some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we discuss Nick Sirianni, and does he need a big postseason to secure his future here? Are you in? All done. 14 wins, 4 years in the playoffs. Sirianni, sign him up for the future. I need to see some playoff success here. Before we go back to the phone lines here, there's a couple things we wanted to hit. One, some NFL rumors out there. We went over some of the coaching stuff a couple days ago on Black Monday.
Yeah.
Hugh, the Raiders were the final team to cross the finish line. They made that decision yesterday. They got rid of Antonio Pierce. So Pierce out, so the Raiders become the sixth team that needs a head coach. And according to Tom Pelissero today, NFL Network, the Raiders, who we know their minority owner, is Tom Brady now, mm-hmm. right? So he's there with the Mark Davis. According to NFL Network, Tom Brady and the Raiders have reached out to Bill Belichick to see if he would leave his commitment at UNC to coach again in the NFL for the Raiders. So Tom Brady could be Bill Belichick's boss in
Las Vegas.
I don't
think that's going to happen. And the amount of money that you're probably going to have to give Belichick for him to leave college, I know it's a different ballgame, but the amount of money you're going to have to get him to even think about that is going to be astronomical. And you're still paying Gruden. Just call Gruden and ask him to take his job back. You're still paying him.
So there's a $10 million buyout just to get Belichick out of New England. That's before they discuss a contract. So they'd have to fork over $10 million to UNC to get him out of the school.
I mean, it must be nice. And if I'm not mistaken, and I might be wrong, wasn't the Raiders, aren't they kind of cash poor or something because of the Gruden thing?
They've had some issues.
They've had some cash flow issues.
But maybe with Brady there now.
But I tell you what, though, it's funny to think of Coach Belichick in that division, and now his one-time quarterback that he won a ton of games with is now his boss. That's wild.
And then the division would be insane, too. You'd have Reed, you'd have Belichick, you'd have Jim Harbaugh, you'd have Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Whew, that would be a heck of a division. We'll keep our eye on that. The Belichick stuff, maybe not done with the NFL. The other thing we need to do here is Cowboy Jim actually made an interesting point. It's rare, but he made one. Because Jerry Jones is acting now. What was the show he was on? What's the show, Jerry?
Landman.
So he was on, and it got us wondering and thinking, is Jerry actually a better actor than you, Hugh? Because, you know, we know you fancy yourself an actor, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm a thespian.
Okay. Can we...
Sorry, partner.
All right, maybe we should listen to these back-to-back. You want to start with Hugh first? The one we've heard a lot on this show.
Yeah, start with Hugh. So this is Arliss. That's an old HBO show.
It was a while ago. Here it is, Arliss, HBO, Hugh Douglas.
Hugh, what do you mean you're out of the deal? You told me you wanted to diversify.
Look here, Stanley. Why should Hugh Douglas get one bull for $100,000 when for that I can get a whole bunch of cows?
Exactly. Cows? What are you gonna do with cows?
We like steak. Porterhouse.
Now I'm becoming a grillsman.
I have got $100,000 on the line here.
Sorry, partner. You got to find somebody else to do this deal.
Exactly.
So there was Hugh Douglas back in the day. Now, the more you hear that, are you impressed by what you did, or you think you could?
Very impressed.
Okay.
And I'm just waiting for my next opportunity. Just waiting. It's coming. I know I've been a little busy with working here, but I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm willing. I'm willing to, you know, do a couple auditions.
So within the span of like a month, you've now auditioned for another acting gig today, and to be the head coach of another a college football program.
Which, by the way, DeSean Jackson got that job.
Yeah, shout out to DJ. He had his press conference today. Had a nice suit on though. He had the blue. I guess I don't know I don't know what you call that blue. And they had a red tile. He looked kind of spiffy.
You know, if you had gotten a job, you could have gave us material today. We could air your press conference and reacted.
Yeah, I'd have had to get a suit made. I mean, yeah, that's the commitment that he made by wearing the suit and the tie. That would have been a lot.
All right, so there was Hugh in his acting days. I would, you know, I'm not going to say it was an A effort, but
it was awesome.
It was
phenomenal.
It was fine. I mean, it wasn't
phenomenal.
It was okay. Obviously, most acting agents are not calling you, so you know we could take that for what
I've had a few calls.
That does say a lot.
I've had a few calls. I just, you know, just decided I want to, you know, it's the role wasn't right for me.
That's it. Of course.
Oh, you're turning down these roles.
Yeah, I've had my phone been blowing up
Well, let me ask you this real quick before we play this Jerry Jones thing, because I play that clip often. Are agents like listening to that clip and being like, I got to call this guy?
Well, think about how many people listen to this show. I mean, this show's taken off. I mean, there's probably people out there listening saying, I can use an actor. Yeah. So you would think they'd call you.
Yeah, I think a few have. But it's just like, hey, and the times that they want me to come in, it's like, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work for your schedule.
So if you do get an acting gig, you owe me a little bit.
I owe you.
Yeah, for putting this back into the atmosphere.
Kind of like a finder's fee.
That's fine. I get you some acting gigs. Don't worry about it.
Now you're both acting?
Yeah, I know people.
That's right. Hit me up.
All right. Let's go to a real actor. His name is Jerry Jones. This one actually was pretty darn good. Here's Jerry.
Now, I'm not saying I've done anything right, but I made my mind up a long time ago I was going to work with my kids. They're involved in everything. They're involved in my leasing, oil and gas, real estate. And so when I got the Cowboys, I got it so that we could all work together. I thought I was doing it for them. But the one that got the most out of it was me. I just know it's not going to be this time, but you're going to be sitting here sometime in the future, laying here sometime in the future. And this room's going to be full of your business associates and the people you've worked with all your life. And more than likely, your children and family are going to be there because they're your children and your family. But you could have them there because they're the people you spent your life with, you worked with, you fell down with, you got up with. Not just Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's who you want to be with.
I tell you what, man, I'm not a big fan of Jerry Jones, but that was really good. I mean, it was but he's not acting. That came from the heart. They put him in a role where it was easy for him to portray because
it is his story.
That's him.
Yeah,
that's him in a nutshell.
Now,
fair point. So, I mean, he was not like a cattle.
Not
ranger.
A cattle prodder.
That's true. So I guess we need to see Jerry's next role, see if he has range as an actor, not just playing himself.
That's true.
On TV.
I will say, I didn't know Jerry had a heart.
A soft side?
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty powerful,
if you
man.
Watch it, there's tears
he's
in his eyes.
Tearing up. He's he's got a quiver in his voice.
Yeah, that wasn't a hard stretch. I mean, but outside of that, that was really good.
How about that? Hugh complimenting him, but I don't even like
Jerry Jones.
Also found a way to throw in there, like, yeah, I mean, it was good, but he was playing.
No,
himself.
Because initially when he started it, he was talking about his family, and that's why it was easy for him to play that part because I could, and it made me think about all the missteps that he had, like flying the helicopter into the practice and landing it and bringing out all his friends and you know going to the practices while they're actually practicing and walking through. So, yeah, it just made me think of all that stuff that he's done in the past.
All right, my vote is Jerry over Hugh. I mean, I
give you that. I'm not upset about that one because that was really, really good.
All right.
Hugh kind of swayed me with the whole.
He's playing himself.
Yeah.
No, but Kyle, it was good. Like, you can play yourself and not have any.
The performance was amazing. Sure.
You can't. He emoted. That's what he did.
He
emoted, and it was. Right. You felt that scene.
All right, fine. You swayed me back, dude.
It was good. It was really good.
Well,
it was
for your next acting gig, Hugh, we need to see some emoting. We need to see some tearing up, crying. I mean, you got to hit one of those.
You know what? Knowing me the way that I do, I probably start laughing or something and blow the scene.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, 215-592-9490. For this segment brought to you by Visit Delco, have tickets to the Birds game this weekend. Make a night of it with the Eagles game day getaway from Visit Delco. Go to visitdelcopa.com. Click the Eagles logo. All right, Carl in King of Prussia's up. Hey, Carl.
Hey, guys. I just kind of threw up in my mouth listening to Jerry Jones.
Carl, you got to admit it, though. He was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
He's playing himself, so the next role he'll be in is if there's another episode of Nip Tuck because of all the work he's had.
He could do that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Make it personal. I respect
Go ahead, Carl.
As far as Coach Sirianni goes, they lost, you know, one Hall of Famer, one borderline Hall of Famer on offense, defense, retired, and they were leaders of the team, and the team just kept chugging along. And I think that's due to Sirianni. And I think it's absurd to actually even think about letting that guy go because before he walked out the door, he would have a job. I mean,
I don't believe that.
I absolutely believe that.
Okay, well, answer me this question. Wait. I'm going to let you go, Carl, but if that's the case, why isn't he in the top three for Coach of the Year? Because of what you just said, he would be a Coach of the Year candidate, right?
No, he wouldn't be.
Why not?
When you're turning it, because that's when you're turning a team completely and utterly around.
Yeah, but not, the coaching job that he's done from what happened last year.
Did do that.
Yeah. So hold on. But Carl, you a lot of years that's true. That's the way Coach of the Year goes. Dan Campbell might win it this year. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. It's not always that. I mean, we'll see how the voting goes, but it's not always that.
Yeah, but you really have to.
It's the yeah, but for me.
Make a huge difference in a team to be Coach of the Year.
But Carl, that's it. Like, that's the perception. He doesn't make a huge difference.
No, he maintained instead of that team could have dropped precipitously backwards if he didn't do what he had to do.
Carl, let me help you out with this because I think you twisted yourself into press. What was the storyline coming into the season with this Philadelphia Eagles team before they even played the game? Whether or not they could bounce back from the fail that they had last year. Not only that, what happened last year? Why did they fail the way that they did? That was the storyline.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you why they failed.
No, I'm just trying to say that was the storyline. So that's one of the reasons why I feel like if he had that ability to get a job somewhere else, he should be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
No, I think he was already a good enough coach that he's not going to bump up to Coach of the Year. And all I'm saying is, from our perspective, we discount the fact that he lost significant leadership, and yet the team actually, could you make the case that those two guys that left, Cox and Kelsey, weren't good enough leaders, and he, Sirianni, added more leadership?
I don't think you could make that comparison, but I will say this. You could say that leadership, you could probably make the stress that leadership was somewhat antiquated with the young guys that they have in there, and they needed something fresh and new.
So I understand why you can use Sirianni as like a positive in that they overcame losing those two guys. Carl, I look at it more of a Howie Roseman thing. Like, they lost two Eagles Hall of Famers, and they had two Pro Bowl caliber players ready to take those spots. That's...
I totally agree with that as well. Howie Roseman is Hall of Fame.
We agree with Carl. Yeah, I think Howie is a Hall of Famer. Carl, he's a great executive.
Look at that. We agree to disagree. Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, I mean, for me, like, someone has to get... Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gillio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. As we discuss Nick Sirianni and does he need a big postseason to secure his future here, are you in? All done. 14 wins, 4 years in the playoffs. Sirianni, sign him up for the future. I need to see some playoff success here. Before we go back to the phone lines here, there's a couple things we wanted to hit. One, some NFL rumors out there. We went over some of the coaching stuff a couple days ago on Black Monday.
Yeah.
Hugh, the Raiders were the final team to cross the finish line. They made that decision yesterday. They got rid of Antonio Pierce. So Pierce out, so the Raiders become the sixth team that needs a head coach. And according to Tom Pelissero today, NFL Network, the Raiders, who we know their minority owner, is Tom Brady now, mm-hmm. right? So he's there with the Mark Davis. According to NFL Network, Tom Brady and the Raiders have reached out to Bill Belichick to see if he would leave his commitment at UNC to coach again in the NFL for the Raiders. So Tom Brady could be Bill Belichick's boss in
Las
Vegas.
I don't think that's going to happen. And the amount of money that you're probably going to have to give Belichick for him to leave college, I know it's a different ballgame, but the amount of money you're going to have to get him to even think about that is going to be astronomical. And you're still paying Gruden. Just call Gruden and ask him to take his job back. You're still paying him.
So there's a $10 million buyout just to get Belichick out of New England. That's before they discuss a contract. So they'd have to fork over $10 million to UNC to get him out of the school.
I mean, it must be nice. And if I'm not mistaken, and I might be wrong, wasn't the Raiders, aren't they kind of cash poor or something because of the Gruden thing?
They've had some issues.
They've had some cash flow issues.
But maybe with Brady there now.
But I tell you what, though, it's funny to think of Coach Belichick in that division, and now his one-time quarterback that he won a ton of games with is now his boss. That's wild.
And then the division would be insane, too. You'd have Reed, you'd have Belichick, you'd have Jim Harbaugh, you'd have Sean Payton.
Yeah.
Whew, that would be a heck of a division. We'll keep our eye on that. The Belichick stuff, maybe not done with the NFL. The other thing we need to do here is Cowboy Jim actually made an interesting point. It's rare, but he made one. Because Jerry Jones is acting now. What was the show he was on? What's the show, Jerry?
Landman.
So he was on, and it got us wondering and thinking, is Jerry actually a better actor than you, Hugh? Because, you know, we know you fancy yourself an actor, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm a thespian.
Okay. Can we...
Sorry, partner.
All right, maybe we should listen to these back-to-back. You want to start with Hugh first? The one we've heard a lot on this show.
Yeah, start with Hugh. So this is Arliss. That's an old HBO show.
The old it is. It was a while ago. Here it is, Arliss, HBO, Hugh Douglas.
Hugh, what do you mean you're out of the deal? You told me you wanted to diversify.
Look here, Stanley. Why should Hugh Douglas get one bull for 100 grand when for that I can get a whole bunch of cows?
Exactly.
Yeah, cows? What are you going to do with cows?
We like steak. Porterhouse.
Now I'm becoming a grillsman.
I have got 100 grand on the line here.
Sorry, partner. You got to find somebody else to do this deal.
Exactly.
So there was Hugh Douglas back in the day. Now, the more you hear that, are you impressed by what you did? Or you think you
Very impressed.
Okay.
And I'm just waiting for my next opportunity. Just waiting. It's coming. I know I've been a little busy with working here, but I mean, I'm not. You know, I'm willing to, you know, do a couple auditions.
So within the span of like a month, you've now auditioned for another acting gig today, and to be the head coach of another a college football program.
Which, by the way, DeSean Jackson got that job.
Yeah, shout out to DJ. He had his press conference today. Had a nice suit on though. He had the blue. I guess I don't know the like. I don't know what you call that blue. And they had a red tile. He looked kind of spiffy.
Yeah, yeah. Spiffy. If you had gotten a job, you could have gave us material today. We could air your press conference and reacted.
Yeah, I'd have had to get a suit made. I mean, yeah, that's the commitment that he made by wearing the suit and the tie. That would have been a lot.
All right, so there was Hugh in his acting days. I would, you know, I'm not going to say it was an A effort, but
it was awesome.
It was
phenomenal.
It was fine. I mean, it wasn't
phenomenal.
It was okay. Obviously, most acting agents are not calling you, so you know we could take that for what
I've had a few calls.
That does say a lot.
I've had a few calls. I just, you know, just decided I want to, you know, it's the role wasn't right for me.
That's it.
Of course. Oh, you're turning down these roles.
Yeah, I've had my phone been blowing up like.
So, well, let me ask you this real quick before we play this Jerry Jones thing, because I play that clip often. Are agents like listening to that clip and being like, I got to call this guy?
Well, think about how many people listen to this show. I mean, this show's taken off. I mean, there's probably people out there listening saying, I can use an actor. Yeah. So you would think they'd call you.
Yeah, I think a few have. But it's just like, hey, and the times that they want me to come in, it's like, it doesn't work.
Doesn't work for your schedule.
I mean?
So if you do get an acting gig, you owe me a little bit.
I owe you.
Yeah, for putting this back into the atmosphere.
Kind of like
all
a finder's
fee. That's fine. I get you some acting gigs. Don't worry about it.
All right. I got you.
Now you're both both acting?
Yeah, I got no
people. That's right. Hit me up.
All right. Let's go to a real actor. His name is Jerry Jones. This one actually was pretty darn good. Here's Jerry.
Now, I'm not saying I've done anything right, but I made my mind up a long time ago. I was going to work with my kids. They're involved in everything. They're involved in my leasing. Oil and gas, real estate. And so when I got to Cowboys, I got it so that we could all work together. I thought I was doing it for them. But the one that got the most out of it was me. I just know it's not going to be this time, but you're going to be sitting here sometime in the future, laying here sometime in the future. And this room's going to be full of your business associates and the people you've worked with all your life. And more than likely, your children and family are going to be there because they're your children and your family. But you could have them there because they're the people you spent your life with, you worked with, you fell down with, you got up with. Not just Thanksgiving, Christmas. That's who you want to be with.
I tell you what, man, I'm not a big fan of Jerry Jones, but that was really good. I mean, it was because he's not acting. That came from the heart. They put him in a role where it was easy for him to portray because
it is his story.
That's him.
Yeah,
that's him in a nutshell.
Now,
fair point. I mean, he was not like a cattle.
Not
rancher.
A cattle prodder.
That's true. So I guess we need to see Jerry's next role, see if he has range as an actor, not just playing himself.
That's true.
TV.
I will say, I didn't know Jerry had a heart.
A soft side?
Yeah.
Well, that was pretty powerful,
if you
man.
Watch it, there's tears
he's
in his eyes.
Tearing up. He's like, he's got a quiver in his voice.
Yeah, that wasn't a hard stretch. I mean, but outside of that. That was really good.
How about that? Hugh complimenting him, but like,
I don't even like Jerry Jones.
But also found a way to throw in there, like, yeah, I mean, it was good, but he was playing himself.
No, because initially when he started it, he was talking about his family, And that's why it was easy for him to play that part, because I could, and it made me think about all the missteps that he had, like flying the helicopter in to the practice and landing it and bringing out all his friends and you know, going to the practices while they're actually practicing and walking through. So, yeah, it just made me think of all that stuff that he's done in the past.
All right, my vote is Jerry over Hugh. I mean, I
give you that. I mean, I'm not upset about that one, because that was really, really good.
All right.
Hugh kind of swayed me with the whole...
He's playing himself.
Yeah.
No, but Kyle, it was good. Like, you can play yourself and not have any...
The performance was amazing. Sure.
You can't... He emoted. That's what he did.
He
emoted, and it was... Right. You felt that scene.
All right, fine. You swayed me back, dude.
Yeah, it was good. Yeah. It was good. It was really good.
Well,
it was
for your next acting gig, Hugh, we need to see some emoting. We need to see some tearing up, crying. I mean, you got to hit one of those.
You know what? Knowing me the way that I do, I probably start laughing or something and blow the scene.
Yeah, I could see that. All right, 215-592-9490. For this segment brought to you by Visit Delco, have tickets to the Birds game this weekend. Make a night of it with the Eagles game day getaway from Visit Delco. Go to visitdelcopa.com. Click the Eagles logo. All right, Carl in King of Prussia's up. Hey, Carl.
Hey, guys. I just kind of threw up in my mouth listening to Jerry Jones.
Carl, you got to admit it, though. He was pretty good.
That was pretty good.
He's playing himself, so the next role he'll be in is if there's another episode of Nip Tuck because of all the work he's had.
He could do that one. Yeah, that's a good
way
one.
Way to make it personal. Yep. I respect
Go ahead, Carl.
As far as Coach Sirianni goes, they lost, you know, one Hall of Famer, one borderline Hall of Famer on offense, defense, retired, and they were leaders of the team, and the team just kept chugging along. And I think that's due to Sirianni. And I think it's absurd to actually even think about letting that guy go, because before he walked out the door, he would have a job. I mean,
I don't believe that.
I absolutely believe that.
Okay, well, ask me this question. Wait, I'm going to let you go, Carl, but if that's the case, why isn't he in the top three for Coach of the Year? Because of what you just said, he would be a Coach of the Year candidate, right?
No, he wouldn't be. Coach
why not?
Of the Year when you're turning it, no, because that's when you're turning a team completely and utterly around.
Yeah,
that's
but not, he coach the coaching year. Job that he's done
well,
from what happened last
did
year.
Did do that?
Yeah.
So hold on, but Carl, a lot of years that's true. That's the way Coach of the Year goes. Dan Campbell might win it this year. They were in the NFC Championship game last year. It's not always that. I mean, we'll see how the voting goes, but it's not always that.
Yeah, but you really have to.
It's the yeah, but for me.
Make a huge difference in a team to be Coach of the Year.
But Carl, that's it. Like, that's the perception. He doesn't make a huge difference.
No, he maintained instead of he could have that team could have dropped precipitously backwards if he didn't do what he had to do.
Carl, let me help you out with this, because I think you twisted yourself into the press. What was the storyline coming into the season with this Philadelphia Eagles team before they even played the game? Whether or not they could bounce back from the fail that they had last year. Not only that, what happened last year? Why did they fail the way that they did? That was the storyline.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you why they failed.
No, I'm just trying to say that was the storyline. So that's one of the reasons why I feel like if he had that ability to get a job somewhere else, he should be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
No, I think he was already a good enough coach that he's not going to bump up to Coach of the Year. And all I'm saying is, from our perspective, we discount the fact that he lost significant leadership, and yet the team actually, could you make the case that those two guys that left, Cox and Kelsey, weren't good enough leaders, and Sirianni added more leadership?
Wow.
I don't think you could make that comparison, but I will say this. You could say that leadership, you could probably make the stress that leadership was somewhat antiquated with the young guys that they have in there, and they needed something fresh and new.
So I understand why you can use Sirianni as like a positive in that they overcame losing those two guys. Carl, I look at it more of a Howie Roseman thing. Like, they lost two Eagles Hall of Famers, and they had two Pro Bowl caliber players ready to take those spots. That's...
I totally agree with that as well. Howie Roseman is Hall of Fame.
We agree with Carl. Yeah, I think Howie is a Hall of Famer. Carl, he's a great executive.
Look at that. We agree to disagree.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I mean, for me, like, someone has to get